Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron, I certainly hope that Steige isn't giving us the Belfont snorkel here. I wonder if that's happening. Now I have to text him. He can be a forgetful man.
I think that might be more of the case than the flat-out snorkel. You know what I mean?
Where do we factor in forgetfulness with snorkeling?
Well, I mean, a snorkel is intentionally screwing you over by not doing what they say they were going to do. That is what I consider snorkeling. Forgetfulness is it's a little bit less lower on the scale of offenses.
Horsey says he's ready via text. Are we moving here? What's going on? I think Horse is on the line with him. I never sent you the number. He's been coming on for months. Ron, can you believe that Horse has now thrown me under the bus? This is unbelievable. Is it not?
He's still working on that new deal for a stable. He's worried about that.
Yeah, I think he should get that. In fact, that's coming any day now. Take it from Horse. All right, let's go to Can you see him, Rod, standing in full cowboy regalia in front of a stable saying, take it from Horse? I think this is going to work.
I sure can see it.
All right. Steige, how are you?
What's going on, boys?
Paul Steigerwald on the Hall and Capitis fan hotline. So the Penguins are playing better, that's for sure, but they also suffered an injury last night, Steige. What does Jason Zucker mean to this team, and who do you think goes into that spot next to Gino?
Well, the thing I like about Jason Zucker is, he's, first of all, he's a quality person. He's a real character player. He's a good veteran-type player in the room. So that's one big thing. But also, he's a legitimate left winger. You know, he plays left wing. That's his position. And he's capable of playing in the top six and being an effective player. I'd like to see him score a little bit more than he was scoring. But I think he's a good complement to Evgeny Malkin on that second line, along with Brian Rust, if he's playing there. And so I think they're going to miss him in that respect. He's got speed. He brings a certain element of skill, and he's the kind of player that you would think would complement either Malkin or Crosby pretty well, in this case, Evgeny Malkin. The other thing that happens when he leaves the lineup is that you're not as deep on left wing. Now, you had the luxury of having Jared McCann waiting in the wings to possibly play left wing on the fourth line, which would have been great. I mean, could you imagine having Gensel, Zucker, Zach Aston-Reese, and Jared McCann as your left wingers? That's pretty good stuff. And it would have maybe enabled the Penguins to make some adjustments to their fourth line, because I'd like to see them put Sam Lafferty in the middle, and then they could have had McCann on left wing, and then when Evan Rodriguez comes back, him on the right wing. That would be a great fourth line, I think. but now, who are you going to play on the left side on the fourth line? You've had Colton Sevier playing there. He's a right shot. I don't think he necessarily fits the bill. So that's why it hurts.
Paul, the team obviously playing better. It seems to have coincided with the change at the top with management. Do you think it's just a coincidence, or do you think guys are looking around and say, you know what, I'd like to be here for a while. I better show these guys something.
I think it's a coincidence. I think more than anything, it's the fact that they got healthier. They started to get their defense back and get their pairings of making sense instead of two righties. You know, they've got a left-right combinations now again. I think Pierre-Olivier Joseph playing as well as he did for a few games there really helped. But the big thing is the goaltending. I mean, Tristan Jarry definitely made some adjustments in his approach. You know, he got some coaching while he wasn't playing. And the Penguins, I think, also shored up their penalty killing. I think they changed the way they're killing penalties. I think that's helped. So I think there are a few things that they recognized as issues that had to be addressed. You could never predict one way or the other, I think, that Tristan Jarry would come out of it as quickly as he did. And it really was by accident in a way, because he wasn't even supposed to play that first game on Valentine's Day. And he did, and he played well, and that got him back on track. And now he's been going in the right direction ever since. So it's good to see him playing the way he can again, because goaltending is really probably the most important, you know, element of the Penguins' mix right now. It was a bit of a question mark, obviously, after the start of the season that they had. But the questions are starting to be answered in the affirmative again, I think. And that's really good news for the Penguins, because they needed Jarry to be that guy. And he's been that guy lately. And I think that's been the big difference.
Paul Steigerwald joining us. So, Steigy, first month of the season, Gino averaged half a point a game. Now in the second month, he's up to about a point a game. You starting to see some life from him?
Yeah, he's starting to look like he's having a little bit more fun out there and getting it. Although, you know, he's still frustrating me with things he does. I mean, just two games ago, he was directly responsible for the two goals that were scored against the Penguins. He did make a great play on the power play to receive a pass at the blue line and then move the puck to Letang for that power play goal. So, but I'm seeing some signs that he seems to be more engaged, I guess would be the way I would put it. And I think that's good. You know, if you think about it, if Gino starts to come back to being Gino, that's like making a big trade or something. I mean, it's just like an unbelievable addition to the team if Gino comes back and plays the way he can, because most of the success they've had so far this year is in spite of him, or certainly not because of him. So, you know, the fact that he's still there waiting to blossom back into the player we think he should be tells me that the Penguins still have another level they can get to if he does that.
Paul, we had Jay Caulfield on the last hour, and he called Gensel's tip-in last night. He thinks it's the best redirection he's ever seen. I don't know if I'd go that far. It was pretty spectacular, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, he bunted it. He bunted it into the net. that was something. I don't know. You know, I think it's not accidental, but it's kind of instinctive, and it's kind of one of those things that, you know, he was able to do it because he's so skilled. He has great hand-eye coordination. He's not afraid of the puck, and you know he's just got great skills with his stick. But if you said to me, we're going to shoot 20 pucks at Jake Gensel and he's going to tip them in like that, you know, more than three times, I would say you're crazy. So I think it's a phenomenal tip, but it's not one that could be duplicated very easily, even by him.
Steigy, here's a question that's coming up a lot these days. Dumoulin getting close, it would seem. So you have Joseph, you have Pettersson, and you have Matheson. What would you do? If it was up to you, which one of those guys is coming out of the lineup? Because clearly one of them has to.
Well, I know which one will come out. It'll be Pierre-Olivier Joseph. I can pretty much guarantee you that, because that's just the way things work in the NHL. You know, the guys with that are making more money and generally get the playing time, and I think if you were flipping a coin, you'd probably say that Pierre-Olivier Joseph would come out. So that's what I think will happen. I personally feel that Pierre-Olivier Joseph should be in the lineup every night. But I'm not analyzing his play the way the coaches are right now, and I'm betting that they're seeing some things in his game that they feel he needs to still work on. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he comes out. The worry I have, if he comes out, is that he dies on the vine. Like, you know, a kid like that should be playing. Will he learn any more about, you know, being an NHL defenseman by being in Wilkes-Barre? I don't know. Is it good for him to just be on a taxi squad? Not really. So it's a tough decision because, you know, he's taken some big strides. Do you want him to regress? Do you think he'll progress by virtue of being on a taxi squad and just being around NHL players every day? That's questionable. So it's a tough decision. And sometimes these decisions don't really have to be made, Joe, because it seems like every time the Penguins are faced with such a decision, somebody gets hurt. So stay tuned.
Isn't it, Paul, when you're in the win now mode, though, doesn't it make sense? You know, you want the kid to develop, as you said, you don't want him to die on the vine, but you also have to win now. And does one of those veterans give you a better opportunity to do that?
Good question. I mean, I think it's whatever you think you need. Like, for instance, you know, when Pierre-Olivier Joseph comes out, the guy that will be replacing him is Brian Dumoulin, okay? So you know where he's going. He's going to the top. So if Pierre-Olivier Joseph becomes your third pair left defenseman, is he more effective in that role than, say, Marcus Pettersson, who may be used in a more defensive role to kill penalties and things like that? So that becomes the question. It's more about role definition than it is, you know, ability at that point, because there's no question that the man who replaces the guy who's coming back is Brian Dumoulin, and we know where he's going. He's going with Chris Letang.
Where are the Penguins going, Steige? We asked Jay this as well. As it seems pretty clear it's five teams for four spots. That's how it's going to be. Five teams for four spots. Somebody's not going to have a chair at the end when the music stops. Who's that team going to be?
I'm not sure. You know, it's so hard to evaluate these teams. Just look at these recent games with the Washington Capitals. In the last game against the Capitals, the Penguins outshot them 10-5 at the beginning of the game. They were dominating the game. They didn't score. The Capitals outshot them 37-17 the rest of the way and won the game. Last night, the Penguins outshot them 37-22 and just basically carried the play the whole game. So it seems like it goes from one extreme to the other from game to game. It's hard to evaluate. But if I was saying, if I had to make a prediction, I would say the Penguins are going to make the playoffs. Which team falls out? I would say the team that I would say might fall out is the Washington Capitals. They have 9 points by virtue of having played the Buffalo Sabres. Now, the Sabres could improve as the season goes on and be a more difficult opponent for the Penguins, say, at the end of the year than they were for the Capitals at the beginning of the year. But I think, you know, if I were predicting which team looks like the most vulnerable to me, I think it's the Washington Capitals. And because they rely so much on their power play, which is really a phenomenal part of their game on their home ice, clicking at 50% going into last night's game. But we know that power plays become less prevalent in games as the season wears on. They'll only get a couple a game, so it won't be able to make as much of a difference in their game. They're going to have to be good 5-on-5. They're not a good defensive team. Their defensive record is horrible so far this year. Their goaltending, even though Vitek Vanacek has played better than people would have expected, I still think they're questionable at goal. So I would say that the Penguins will get in, and I'm not sure where they'll finish in the top four, but I really believe they're going to get into the playoffs. And I told you that a few weeks ago. I still believe it.
Yes, you did tell us that. Starkey asked this question earlier. You know, there was all kind of speculation about, you know, when Jari was really struggling, that maybe the team needed to go out and find a veteran goaltender. We heard Fleury's name even mentioned. Has Jari eliminated any need for that right now, Paul?
Not necessarily, Ron, in my mind, because, you know, I don't think you could ever have too much good goaltending. And I think if the Penguins could find another guy at some point during the year as an insurance policy, it wouldn't be a bad move. Because I kind of thought they were going to do that anyway. I don't like the three-goalie system, but you never know. You might need another goalie because you might have an injury to one of these two guys, and then what do? You know, so I like Casey DeSmith. I don't think Casey DeSmith is the answer, though, on a long-term basis. I think he's kind of the classic solid guy to have as a backup. And, you know, I compare him a little bit to like a Wendell Young type guy, maybe a little bit better pedigree than him, but not much. But a similar kind of guy who you can count on to come in cold and play well. You can count on to play, you know, a handful of games and play well, but you don't necessarily want to have to rely on him for an entire season. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Penguins still go find somebody maybe towards the trade deadline, see if they can get an insurance policy in there just in case one of those two guys goes down. But I don't think they need to get one for the same reasons that maybe I was starting to think they needed to get one a couple of weeks ago, because I think Jari has come around. And just the, you know, kind of a little inside thing, I had heard from Mario recently, and he said he thought Jari would come around, which I think was interesting because, you know, I kind of go by things that Mario says. I think he has a pretty good feel for the game, and he predicted that Jari would come around. And he's so far, it's looking like Mario was right.
That's interesting. Paul Steigerwald here on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. So who's going to win the division then? Who would you predict to win it? Are the Bruins a shoe-in to win it?
Not necessarily. They got off to a fabulous start. They're a really good team, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't think they're a shoe-in, though. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, listen, the Bruins give the Penguins fits in Boston, but the Penguins play pretty well against them in Pittsburgh. So let's see what they do when they come to Pittsburgh. And see how the Penguins do head-to-head against them. They didn't play that badly in the two games up there. So I still think it's anybody's division to win. I really believe that. The Bruins obviously are sitting pretty because they've been up there at the top for a while, but I wouldn't necessarily just, you know, pencil them in as the division winners right now.
Paul, real quickly, I know we're up against it. What did you think about Claude Julien being fired in Montreal?
That's a bit of a surprise. You know, I'm sure Mark Bergevin didn't want to do it, but the team wasn't playing well. They felt like they had to make a change. A lot of people in Montreal think that, you know, they play not to lose instead of playing to win. They've got a little bit more firepower now, and Julien is a defensive-minded coach, as many of the coaches who've gone through Montreal are. So I think, you know, it's like the old story. He's been around a long time, and maybe they felt like they weren't hearing his voice anymore. So he's gone, but he's a really good coach, and there are a lot of teams would love to have him coaching their team. So that's just one of those things where the Canadians had to make a change, and so they you know, once again, they identify the coach as the problem.
Steigy, thanks for coming on. We appreciate the time.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.